Lisa and Pete on the Rush Hour.
Ah, they're like family.
Look after your family and loved ones with a prepaid funeral from Purslow and Tipper Funerals.
For the school pickup, for the early run home, for the still stuck at work, welcome. This is the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete. Perth's Mix 94.5.
Probably the most staggering part about this that we're about to discuss is that the figures increase year on year. Almost 80,000 West Australians are waiting to see a public hospital specialist to find out if they need surgery, with an average waiting time of more than a year at Fiona Stanley Hospital. To discuss this a little bit more is Australian Medical Association WA President Dr. Omar Khorshid. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon.
I wish we were talking about something a bit more pleasant. I mean, this is just awful. It does my head in that the list can be this long in a place like Perth. What we've always heard of elective surgeries being a big waiting list issue in this city. What kind of surgeries are we mostly talking about?
Yeah, look, the figures that just came out recently and reported in the paper today were actually just the wait time to come and see a specialist, not just surgeons, but actually any specialist doctor that a GP thinks, look, you need a little bit more specialised care, we need some advice here. Let's get you in, if you don't have insurance, let's get you into a public hospital to get that higher level of advice. And potentially, if it is surgery that you need, go onto a waiting list for surgery. The worrying thing about these figures is just how much they've increased in only a year, an extra 10,000 people waiting. And although the system is still, for the majority of people, delivering good care and pretty timely care, it's yet another figure that's pointing to a system that's under a lot of stress. And if something isn't done now, we're going to be in big problems in the years to come.
You know, I mean, Lise mentioned this to me before. It was a really good point. Like, we've only just seen Fiona Stanley Hospital open. You know, it hasn't been around that long. And yet here we are year on year and these figures keep growing. What's the solution to this? How many hospitals do we have to open, or how many staff do we have to put on to allay these numbers?
Yeah, look, Pete, what you might not realise is after spending $7.5 billion on new hospitals around the state, we actually don't have any extra beds. So the system's got new hospitals, but doesn't have bigger hospitals, doesn't have more hospitals, and therefore the capacity just hasn't grown. So what we really need to do, and what government needs to be signing up for, is actually increasing the number of beds and other aspects of the system that deliver capacity to actually see patients and treat them. The hospitals are all well and good, but what we need is the staff, the recurrent funding. At the end of the day, it's just money. We need the money to deliver enough care to look after the community.
Well, it always does my head in the way they divvy up the money that comes from our taxes and everything, and the things that they waste money on when our hospitals are wanting. Is it also a staff issue? Are there enough staff, or is it just a bed issue?
They're very much linked.
Yeah.
We have enough staff to run the number of beds. If you needed to run more beds and provide more services, the hospitals would employ more staff. It would take a little while to get them, especially specialist doctors don't just grow on trees. You have to train them up or recruit them. But over time, if you knew the system was growing, we can staff it adequately to look after the public. What we really need is those dollars to make sure that we can meet the community need.
Dr. Omar, what is the answer you and your team are generally given when you lobby for the dollars that you need?
Look, the cupboard's empty is the simple answer. Government doesn't have any money. There's a huge debt problem. And they see health, which is 30% of state government recurrent expenditure, as a very big ticket item. The reality, though, is that as we have reduced the growth in expenditure in health over the last couple of years, but at exactly the same time that we've reduced that expenditure, we've reduced the services. So clearly there's waiting lists going up, ED attendance getting longer waiting queues, longer ambulance ramping. So there is a direct impact. And what we really need to understand is that if we don't increase that funding, or don't increase those beds, we're just going to see this problem get bigger and bigger every month, every year, for the next few years, until there's a crisis and until people start dying.
Right. Do you think they could reprioritise a bit better the way they distribute the money that we have in the state?
Look, it was horrible with the recent Langilent report to see how money is wasted by the decision makers in government. Billions of dollars being spent where really we could have prioritised those to other areas. But at the end of the day, we are where we are. The money has been spent, and we need to just make sure that in the next budget that's coming and in budgets to come, that the system is funded to a level that delivers on what the government's promised the public. And if they can't deliver that funding, they need to have a conversation with the public to say, okay, we haven't got the money. This is what we're not going to do anymore.
Yeah.
Dr. Omar Khorshid is the president of the Australian Medical Association, WA. We thank you for joining us this afternoon, mate. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you.
It's the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
Hey, it is a must-win match as the Perth Wildcats take on the Adelaide 36ers at Perth Arena tonight. If they win, it's through to Sunday in Adelaide in a do-or-die to get through the semis. Joined now by the Wildcats' very own Damian Martin. Thanks for joining us, mate.
My pleasure. This is way more important than the game. How are you guys?
Good.
So, couldn't agree more.
So, Damien, this is it. Are you feeling confident?
Yeah, we are. We've had a really good week on court, and if the training's anything to judge by, then hopefully we put on a great performance tonight. And, yeah, like you said, it's do or die. So the reality is hopefully we can leave it all out there on the court. And our best will be good enough to get a win over Adelaide and then follow that through with another one on Sunday on their home court.
Now, mate, I don't mean to unearth a painful past, even though it was just last weekend. But, I mean, it was a thrashing, 109-74. Did Gleeso really put the irons to you or what?
Look, we'd grown men. We knew how embarrassing that performance was, and we felt it immediately. Well, actually, while we were watching it unfold in the fourth quarter when they really extended their lead, and then afterwards when we got together in a huddle on the court, Lucas Walker said, "Don't try and spin this into anything positive. That was embarrassing." And I thought that said all we needed to hear at the time. So we barely spoke after the game. Watching video earlier in the week was quite brutal. The Leafs were honest and open about it. And then we followed up with some good training sessions on court. And then we spoke about where we went wrong and how we could improve. And by the end of the week, you've got to realise at the end of the day, it's only 1-0 down in the best of three. It's still wide open. We've just got to do the job this weekend with two wins. So we had to go through that embarrassment so everyone had that personal motivation for tonight. Mm. And I think we're out there to prove a few things, not just individually, but as a team.
It was only embarrassing because you guys aren't used to it. It usually doesn't happen to you. But is it hard to find that sort of medium between leaving that game in the past and using a little bit of it to spur you on to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I don't think we're a 35-point less type of team than Adelaide. Mm. But if we don't play with the intensity and the passion and the energy that's required and the discipline more than anything in playoff basketball, then we're showing that we can lose by that margin. So it's obviously still in our memories. We'll step onto the court wanting to redeem ourselves, but that redemption's only a small part of what we're playing for, and more importantly, it's trying to get through to another grand final series. But we're human. We obviously remember what happened last week. And if we played our best basketball and still lost, then you walk off the court scratching your head saying, how can we win this series? Instead, after watching the video, we're like, okay, we can improve in a number of areas. Let's do that and then see what happens on the scoreboard, and I think we're capable of reversing the result.
All right, well, we have faith. And it's at the Perth Arena, so you'll have the whole crowd on your side. Good luck.
Thank you. I can't wait. I love playing basketball. I'm only a couple of hours away.
Thank you, Damien.
See you, mate.
Bye-bye.
School run, early run home. The Rush Hour is here to make it better. And you can help your family when they need it most with a prepaid funeral from Purslow and Chipper Funerals. With you from 3 p.m. weekdays, it's The Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete on Perth's Mix 94.5.